The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we've had a busy program. A lot of conversation about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. We talked to Kyle Trask, the Heisman finalist from Florida, as he gets ready to understudy Tom Brady. Dr. Elko joined us, Gene Hallman, earlier on the vaccination effort led by Nick Saban in Alabama. Your phone call is next right now. Let's check in with Mitch, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Uncle Paul. How are you?
Hey there, Mitch. What's up?
I've got a just a slight statement to make about the vaccine, and then I got a question I want to ask you, if you allow.
Of course.
I put taking the vaccine in the same category I put in election. If something happens and we can't have full stadiums because the percentage, the proper percentage of the people didn't take the vaccine, then the ones that didn't take the vaccine have no right to complain. Just like a person says, I hate what the president is doing, then you ask them, well, did you vote? No. Well, then you really don't have a right to complain. So that's that. On the NIL, is there any chance that this could be retroactive?
No, because there would just be no way to do it. But let me go back to your vaccine issue for a second, Mitch, before we get to the NIL. I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people argue that they're taking the vaccine for you, meaning me for you and you for me, as well as oneself. And I think you illustrated that in what you said. There are some concerns. I mean, some people have legitimate concerns. I want to make sure people understand that. It isn't for everyone. That's why, and you heard the governor yesterday when he was with us, and you've heard almost every healthcare professional say, if you have a question, don't put on your favorite news channel or ask your friend. Ask someone who is trained in this field. Ask a healthcare professional for counsel and advice, and then you're on your own. But at least you've gotten good advice.
That I completely agree. I didn't take it till I got my primary care physician's go ahead to do it. But I'm just saying, these people that are calling up saying that there's various reasons outside of religious, medical, they just feel like it's a hoax or whatever.
Well, Mitch, I think that when those people say that, it speaks for themselves. I know, we all know where it's coming from, and I would agree with some of the criticism that, you know, this country didn't exactly get it right, but that's not even important any longer. The only thing that's important is what happens now.
I'm just saying, as a football fan.
Well, I will tell you this, and I understand. I'm not sitting here advocating vaccines because that's not my job, but we are going to have full stadiums in the fall. You can count on it, and you can bank on it. And that's my opinion. And I understand the concern of those who run the sports and the commissioners, and even Mr. Hallman today, who's in charge of the vaccine coordination. But we have gone too far to turn back now. This Mitch, you and I both know the country is opening. And, you know, I don't know what would shut it down at this point.
Well, I live in one of the states that, and our governor's already said he's going to end the unemployment benefits that are solely based on
right,
the COVID issue. So, yes, I do know what you're saying. I was just saying I don't want to hear a bunch of people and, if something happened, they said we can only have 50% of.
Well, I mean, like the guy that called in yesterday that's against all vaccines. Well, we're not.
That's the kind of person I'm talking about.
Yeah, well,
I don't want to hear him complain.
Well, I don't. Frankly, don't want to hear him. Period. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, thank you very much, Mitch. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've come too far to listen to that. Nick is up next in Florida. Hello, Nick. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am doing great.
So hearing, reading about, you know, Saban's public service announcements always takes me back to Bear Bryant, and particularly around Mother's Day and his, you know, South Central Bell commercial.
Oh, wow.
Have you called your mother? And it always, you know, I graduated from Alabama in the late 90s. I'm from Indiana. I went there on a track and field scholarship. And during my time and since, you know, learned about Bear and just, you know, I think people today and fans of Alabama and fans of football just don't realize how amazing he was. And when you see a commercial like that, I watched it on YouTube, and I know there's probably no way for you to get.
Yeah,
that
Nick, let me brief. I'll do my best. This is 30 or 40 years of, but the only reason I even know this is that a friend of mine worked on the campaign. He ran. He was the co partner of the agency that did the commercial for South Central Bell. Now, South Central Bell later became Bell South, as we know it now. And I believe if I remember correctly, Coach Bryant looked into the camera and he was talking about his advice for his players. And I think he looked into the camera and said, have you called your mama today? I sure wish I could call mine.
I mean, it literally brings it.
Oh, it was.
It may
be one of the five greatest commercials I've ever seen.
I watch that. I get goosebumps, and I can still call my mom. You know, I love my mom to death. But like, it's the Bear is so underappreciated. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true.
Well, yeah, I think, and you know, I mean, Nick Saban has been very out front with a year ago with wearing a mask, with vaccinations, and the whole purpose of our conversation earlier with Gene Hallman, for those who missed it, there's an article that's out now in the Wall Street Journal that profiles Saban, and it talked about how Gene Hallman's group, which is coordinating vaccines in Alabama, they were looking for a spokesperson, and all the advice and all the consultants said that you're better off not using someone well known. They looked at President Obama, they looked at other Charles Barkley and other major figures, and they said that healthcare professionals have more credibility. And then they finally decided, they looked at another poll that showed that even among Auburn fans, Nick Saban had like an 80% approval rating, which is, you know, truly bewildering to think about. But the fact that Nick Saban would lend and by the way, I don't know if everyone did, because I mean, some people have their own reasons, okay, as we all know. But when someone like Nick Saban in a state like Alabama, and why is Alabama important? Well, other than that's where Nick Saban lives. It's also one of the lowest vaccinated states in the country.
Well, you know, Paul, so we got vaccinated. We're going on a cruise, and I just didn't want to take any, you know, I was worried that they would have to have the vaccine in order to get on the cruise, and the cruise was booked years ago, and so, you know, we got vaccinated. But I will say that what happened to the my body, my decision, right? I mean, it
sure
sounds great with other things, but now all of a sudden with the vaccine, it's not the same thing. And just, you know, that moving goalpost, I think, is what is problematic for people when they're making the decision about their health. And let's face it, there's other things about your health that affects others. So this is not really unique in that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
But Nick, and I am not advocating not to get it, but I do know, as you do, that some people should not get it. There are inherent risks, and that's why if you have a question, that you see your physician. It's as simple as that. You just don't watch a TV show and make a determination or listen to some guy like we had yesterday who said that all vaccines are bad. Well, I think that's been proven to be rather dangerous to say that.
We know that's it. I appreciate your passion on stadiums will be full.
I don't have any doubt, I don't even think it's a close call. Okay, I think there are a few more events where we are going to see restrictions, and I think Hallman alluded to. He runs the SEC baseball tournament, and so there will be an announcement next week. But most places are moving forward. Broadway's opening in September. Now, if you're opening Broadway in September, I guarantee you there are going to be full college football stadiums in Baton Rouge and Tuscaloosa. Hey, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We have Kyle Peterson a little bit later to talk about the weekend's baseball and more of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, welcome back here Friday afternoon, and Bert is up next. Go right ahead, Bert. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Paul. I had a scenario I was going to run by you, get your opinion on as far as with the playoffs. What if they can the conference games, the championship games? And I know it's a lot of money, but then they replaced them with an extra, maybe an extra season game or some kind of matchup with the group of five, and then they did a top 20 playoff, for as far as the bowls, and out of that top 20, they picked eight teams. They used the old BCS formula. They had the input from the reporters, the coaches. I don't know why they ever went from that sample size to five people, but I don't know if I'm making it clear, but, if they had the top 20, then there would be if the computers, were heavily involved with what people thought were important, then, anybody in the top 20 could make it to the final eight, but certain things would have to happen. I just wonder if that would – I just wanted to get your opinion or thought on something like that possibly happening, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I don't think it will happen for this reason, Bert. I don't think any of the major conferences will let go – of those championship games, and you said it. I mean, they are the biggest prize in every conference's network package. It's the biggest game of the year. It's the most watched game, and it's also they have like the SEC being in Atlanta, the ACC in Charlotte, Indianapolis, other places with the Big Ten. They are really important events to. For the community and for television. I would be shocked if they let go of that. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Mac is in Mississippi, and you are on the air. Hello, Mac.
Hey there, Paul. Appreciate you talking my call.
Thank you.
I just make a comment about the virus and the shots that will prevent that. And I'm 79 years old, and I'm blind. But I couldn't wait for the shots to become available. It's just a no-brainer to me. You know, it's going to protect you and keep you from giving it to someone else. It's just a no-brainer. I mean, I can't see what the downside is. Why wouldn't somebody take it? I can remember I'm old enough when polio was such a terrible thing in many, many people's lives. And they got the vaccine, which was an oral vaccine, no shot. And I remember working one day, and it was countywide, that you could go get the vaccine, the oral vaccine, and there were just cars everywhere. I mean, thousands of people lined up to take the oral vaccine. And guess what? No more polio. It's like it went away in one day. But this is the same thing to me. There's nothing to taking the shots. I've had the shots, of course. There's nothing to it. It takes maybe 30 minutes, maybe. And be protected completely, almost 7% or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, you know, Mac, you raise a good point. And, I mean, in some places, you're going to have it. I mean, I saw a story a minute ago where traders on the New York Stock Exchange are back on Monday, but you have to have had the vaccine. You hear that a lot of places, not every place, but it is, you know, the people that have taken it, I've heard similar stories to yours, that it just gives you a sense of relief. A friend of mine in California flew to New York last week to see his elderly parents for the first time, and like so many people, this weekend we'll see their mothers for the first time in a long time, because you feel more comfortable. Where a year ago, nobody knew what the consequences would be.
Yeah, well, it's just a no-brainer to me, and I think if this was the polio vaccine situation was today, I think probably there would be a lot of people not take it because they'd give excuses such as my mind choke on the
well,
cue at all.
Unfortunately, Mac, and this goes for both sides, COVID was politicized a year ago, and I think people only saw what their ideology led them to see, and that is part of the problem today. It's not the only problem. There's some legitimate vaccine issues, but as we've said, that's why you depend on somebody who understands them better than the two of us.
Yeah, I guess so. This is a different time, different age. I think it would the oral vaccine would probably nowadays in today's society, there would be several million people that would refuse to take it.
Yeah, Mac, but the remarkable thing, and I think history will be kinder than maybe we are right now, because we just got through with an election, but the idea that it could be done as quickly as it was is truly miraculous. No one could. I remember when we first started this, people said it would take 2 or 3 years. Remember that? We didn't think we'd ever get out of this.
Yeah, I remember that. And I think some of them would like for it to take 2 or 3 years.
Well, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say my piece. By the way, I have a good Bear Bryant story, but that'd be another time.
Well, I look forward to that. Hey, Mac, you take care of yourself, and thank you for calling and appreciate it very much. Let's check out Jacob up next. Hey, Jacob, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. I'm a first-time caller, and I've been listening to your show for the past 6 months.
Thank you.
And I love it. I had a quick question. I thought I've been listening to the radio each day, and no one's asked this question. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is just, let's say about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Let's say we can't come up with terms. They don't trade him. You know, he's stuck in that situation. What would prevent him just saying, hey, okay, you're not going to trade me, and just going to the field and playing down, not up to par like he usually does, to prevent those millions of dollars from negatively affected him or any player in general.
Well, nothing would stop that, Jacob, but, I mean, these guys are the epitome of professionals, and I can't think of one that would do that. They're still being paid a lot of money. I think that is a mess. I've seen situations like that. It may be in your business or mine or professional sports or anywhere else where things get so toxic, and it's usually because of a lack of communication, a lack of understanding, and you welcome the media into the conversation, and it becomes unbearable. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We are still moving and open for business on a Friday afternoon, and we'll take your phone calls We'll continue to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Also, Kyle Peterson will join us shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Mississippi State in South Carolina, a much-anticipated series. You can see the conclusion Sunday, 2 p.m. right here. And someone who will be watching and participating in the broadcast of many of these games over the weekend is our friend Kyle Peterson. And Kyle, thank you as always for joining us on these late Friday visits. There's some pretty choice matchups, maybe not as good as other weekends. But at this point, everything is really important. Where are you keeping your focus this weekend?
Georgia, Arkansas is one, and it's for a few different reasons. I mean, Georgia was in a good spot then last weekend, loses 2 out of 3. Now they find themselves back in that point where they got to start winning games, and it's not the easiest place when you've got to win games. If you got to go into Baum Stadium, which I would assume is getting louder by the weekend right now as the number one team just continues to swing the bats. And then Mississippi State, South Carolina. When we talked a week ago, South Carolina was in a spot to where they looked pretty comfortably in the host category. A lot can change over the course of a weekend, especially if you get swept. Ole Miss sweeps them. Now they're in a different spot, and they get State coming to town, and State's been about as consistent as anybody in this league, not named Arkansas this year. So I would say those two, but, I mean, there's always interesting ones wherever you look.
Yeah, and we're now to the point where the tournament's within sight next week, and I've lost track of it. It's the last weekend of May, so it's not hard to figure out when that is. Let's talk about who's in good shape and who's not right now, and we're not talking about anything other than positioning yourself for the tournament. So, who is in relatively safe category?
Well, I would say everybody except Missouri, A&M, Auburn and LSU. I think besides that, everybody's in a good spot. I mean, there's kind of two battles here. One is the battle just to get there, and the last two teams don't get there, but two is a battle for a bye. Because if you're a 1-2-3 or a 4 seed when you get there, you don't play that play-in game on Tuesday. You wait and play your first game on Wednesday. So those are kind of the two. And that's why, Ole Miss goes to A&M this weekend. LSU goes to Auburn and already won game one of that series. That's a key one right there because you got two teams that are fighting to get in the exact same place. LSU's a hard one for me to figure out because it's a young offense that really their young guys have been outstanding. Dylan Cruz has had a huge year. Trey Morgan's had a huge year. Feels like they're starting to figure that pitching staff out a little bit, especially after losing Jaden Hill about a month ago. But LSU feels like it still has a run in it for me, and I don't know if that run is just the run to get to Hoover. Or if they show up in Hoover and do what it seems like they do seemingly every year, and that's stay for 4 or 5 days. Because if LSU can do that, if they can finish decent these last 3 weeks and then go to Hoover and win 3 games, then I think they've played themselves back into the tournament. Right now, they're clearly on that bubble.
On that subject, you mentioned some positive things, but what hasn't gone right for LSU this year?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Their bullpen's been all over the place, and that's been one piece of it. Two is it is a really young lineup, and it's a young lineup at some important spots. I mean, there was times they were starting 5 freshmen, and many of them weren't COVID freshmen. I mean, they were true freshmen in that lineup. We just don't see that very often for an LSU offense. I mean, you may see a few of those guys mixed in, but usually it's the older names that are in the middle of it and the younger ones are coming up. The younger ones have had to carry them offensively. And you felt like, okay, if they can get through the early grind of the league, when these kids are seeing these big arms for the first time, they're going to get better as the season goes on. They're getting better as the season goes on. It's just a question of, are they going to run out of time? And that's the issue. They put themselves in a big hole. I mean, they were 7-14 in the league. And that's just not an easy hole to come back from. But yet, when you look at the pieces offensively of these young kids, they're going to have to ride them. It's going to have to go through a lot of the freshmen that they knew were going to be good. I don't know if they thought they were going to have to carry them this time of year.
Kyle, we ask you about Florida every year, primarily because we started this season a couple of months ago in the cold of winter and the rain that afternoon, and Florida was number one in the country. They're coming back, but they're at Kentucky this weekend. What do you see from the Gators, and what does their path look like from here until the NCAA tournament?
They're coming off a great weekend, obviously, but then they lose game one against Kentucky last night. I think that the issue for Florida has been, which I don't remember this ever being the issue for Florida, they've been inconsistent from a starting rotation standpoint. They haven't on the back end. Hunter Barco's had a pretty good year, but they've had to piece some things around and have some guys in some roles. You know, I don't think we thought that Jack Leftwich would be thrown out of the bullpen, and he is right now. He looked good when he came out of the bullpen last weekend, but he was their second starter to start the year. The guy that started the year as a closer is throwing opening day over the course of weekends. So it's just, it hasn't been fluid from a starter standpoint for Florida, and that's just so rare. I mean, usually what we thought we'd see, when you see Florida throughout the course of the season, there is consistency from a starting rotation standpoint. Their offense is good. It's not unbelievable, but their offense is good, and it's plenty good enough. The other thing that's strange, Paul, is usually when you look at the top defensive teams in this league, year in and year out, Florida's usually top three to top five. They're at the bottom. I mean, they're 13th or 14th going into this weekend, just as far as fielded percentage, and that's rare. That's not a team that does that. So there's some things we're not used to seeing out of a Florida club that can regulate themselves over the last 4 weeks. There's still plenty of talent. There's plenty of talent to make a run to Omaha. There's just not as much consistency as I think we thought we would see. And I think Kevin O'Sullivan would probably say the same thing.
We've talked a little bit this year about Tennessee, but this is a program that's had its issues in the past. They are having a sensational year. They're at Missouri this weekend. How have they done it?
Well, they have been consistent. That's the biggest thing. And they've done it with, I would say, a variety of different ways to do it. Like, there's, you know, you go look at them offensively, is there anything that jumps off the board? No, but they're consistent. You go look at their pitching numbers, anything that jumps incredibly off the board? Not necessarily, but they're consistent. They also play with a chip, and I think it's intentional. You can come in if you want to sell this story. If you're Tony Vitello, you can. I mean, you could sell the story of, hey guys, we got to go earn our respect because they're not going to respect us yet. Now, they made the tournament 2 years ago. They were in a great spot last year before the season got shut down. Right now, they're in a great spot to be a national seed and play at home for the 2 weeks following that. So, you know, is there absolute top end prospects like you see at Vanderbilt and some other places? No, maybe not quite as many across the board, but man, are they consistent? And the other thing is they have bought in to a man. They have bought in, and they've created a pretty cool environment at Lindsey Nelson. I mean, when they get the students in there, it's loud, and it's an advantage to Tennessee. And it's been a long time since we could say that.
SEC tournament 2.5 weeks from now. Kyle, thanks for dropping by as always on these Friday afternoons. I know you got work to do, so we will let you do that. But we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Good to see you. Have a good weekend.
You got it. Kyle Peterson joining us as always. Still plenty of time for you to get in at 855-242-7285. Your phone calls are next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We continue here, and Bob is up next in New York. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
All right, good. Last time we talked, the greatest baseball player you ever seen play, Willie Mays. Could you expound on a little bit on Cat Mays, what position he played and what city or maybe perhaps what industrial league? I find it very intriguing.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
He played, I don't remember the exact, he worked in Fairfield, Alabama, which is where the U.S. Steel plant was. And I believe they had an industrial league connected to the plant, but I really don't know much more about it than that. I've heard his name a couple of times since then, and I believe in one of Willie's books, he talked a lot about that. I'd have to go back and read it. But this conversation started the other day. I think Tuesday or Wednesday was Willie Mays's 90th birthday. I mean, think about that. And there are many people who believe that he's the greatest baseball player of all time. There's a debate. Certainly, you have about three or four possibilities, but I've heard many people that have covered the game believe he is it.
Very good. Well, thanks, Paul, and love the show, and go Aggies. Take care. Have a good
weekend.
Thank you.
Great to hear from you, and let's check out Andrew, who is in Kentucky, and you are on the air. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well, Andrew. Thank you.
So I got a couple things I want to talk about. First, the vaccine, and the other thing is Kentucky football. First off, I'm a pharmacist. I have been given the COVID vaccine since December. Mostly people in nursing homes, but other people as well. In my experience, I've not seen anybody have any serious side effects. I believe it's safe and effective, and I think everybody should get it. I do think it is okay to have questions, like you were saying earlier. And I think if you do have questions, you need to get them answered by a licensed healthcare professional, somebody like a primary care doctor, pharmacist, whatever. And I think that, like I said, I think it's very important. You were talking about how some people can't get the vaccine. You're right. Mostly people that have, like, compromised immune systems or cancer or stuff like that can't get the shot. So that's why it's so important that other people get the shot so that you can protect them. That's how we get herd immunity. That's how we protect them. So that's all I wanted to say. Hey,
Andrew, if I could ask you a question before Kentucky. Right now, I mean, we know in the early months of this year, it was a panic trying to get online appointments or getting an appointment anywhere. What's it like right now where you are?
Demand has died down a lot. We're actually, the pharmacy I work at, where we sometimes have trouble finding enough people to use the entire vial. So some of them are going to waste, but we try as hard as we can to get people to take any remaining doses left. So it has slowed down considerably, which is kind of worrying.
Okay, it's amazing how it was not that long ago that if you got a vaccine appointment, people would run out and celebrate.
Yeah, it's definitely changed. But if you want an appointment, you can get an appointment right away. Almost every pharmacy around the country is starting to do them now. You can go online to, CVS, Walgreens, whatever pharmacy you want, and make an appointment there. If you want to make an appointment, you can make an appointment.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay, your Kentucky question.
The other thing I was wanting to talk about, Kentucky football has had a little bit of changeover. We got a new offensive coordinator. We got a new quarterback coming in, and I think things are starting to look up a little bit. I know people talk about Georgia and Florida as being the teams to beat in the SEC East. Do you think there's any chance that Kentucky can maybe make a run this year and maybe win the SEC East for the first time?
Andrew, I don't think so. I think Georgia is simply too good. Now, I think the real question is, can they make a run at second place in the East? And I think that is legitimate. It comes down to winning a couple of key games. And I would say the most important game for Kentucky is going to be Florida at home. That has always been, as you know, the heartbreak hotel game on the calendar. I don't think they can win at Georgia. And I think they can have a really good year. The games they have to win are the home games. They have to beat Missouri, Florida, Tennessee. Yeah, I don't like their chances against LSU. But Mississippi State's always somewhat of a – and South Carolina are toss-up games. And you know this better than I do. But Kentucky plays four or five games every year that literally are toss-ups. And how the season – finishes is entirely dependent on those games. And when they went 10-2 a couple of years ago, they won most of those games.
Right. And I know you were also talking about how they're going to have full stadiums in the fall. I plan on going to that Florida game if I can. And I want to have the satisfaction or the security of having had the vaccine and not worrying about getting it from somebody else or maybe spreading it to somebody else when I get home. So that's why I think, especially if you want to go to a football game this fall, I think that's one of the reasons why it's really important to get the vaccine.
If I could ask you for, Andrew, let me ask you one more. I hate to, but I'm curious because so many people right now are just getting out. For those who have had trepidation, what would your advice be as someone who is a professional and understands this better than most, if you've had the vaccine?
Like I said, it's okay to have questions. You need to make sure you get them answered by a licensed professional. I had both shots. I had the Pfizer vaccine. All I had was a sore arm both times. Took some Tylenol and went away. I've known most people I know, that was it, just a sore arm. There are a few people that do have a more serious reaction, and that's okay. That actually may be a good thing when you have, like, the headache and the fever and stuff, because it shows that the vaccine is working properly.
Hey, Andrew, like are you said, in where you work, are masks still mandatory?
We are using them in the pharmacy, and I don't know when that'll change. The store I work at, the store requires them as well.
I hear you. Hey, thank you so much, Andrew. Appreciate your counsel.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
You got it. That's interesting to hear that. Let's continue. And sometimes I get lost, and I just did. Merrill is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Merrill. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
We are doing great.
Great. You know, your show just keeps getting better and better.
Thank you.
By the way, Willie Mays was the greatest. He was my first idol growing up, and kind of tells you how old I am. But I wanted to weigh in on the NIL thing. You know, the way I look at it, you know, I agree with Barkley 100%. You know, people are always talking about the value of an education. And somebody touched on it earlier. There's a cost of an education. And the way I look at it is that these kids coming out of high school have an entry-level job of making $50,000, $60,000 a year. I mean, how many high school graduates get that opportunity? And not only that, they can parlay that education into, you know, a substantial income going forward. So why are we making lightly of the cost of an education and saying that, hey, we're kind of, you know, chipping these kids out of, you know, an income or whatever. So, you know, and a lot of these kids coming out of high school that are going into, you know, sports, you know, they may not be graduating at the top of their class, so they're not going to get a great job right away. You know, they may get a 15-hour, you know, that kind of a job. So, you know, I just wanted to weigh in at it and, you know, kind of give my perspective.
Well, Merrill, thank you very much for doing so, and thanks for the kind words about the show. We've had a really interesting program today. A lot of conversations started with Gene Hallman on Nick Saban leading the vaccine push in Alabama. We had Kyle Trask on. You heard KP, Dr. Elko. We're taking a break here. More phone calls in the final hour at 855-242-7285. We're coming right back.